Right now, it's time for Food Friday. And if you love fresh produce, there's no better time than now to talk about food. Farmers markets around the state are in full swing. And with so many fruits and veggies now in season, there's a just about endless supply of food to buy and take home with you.
But you can only buy so many things from the market, so where should you start? And once you actually get the food home, there's the question of what to do with it. You can call it maybe farmer's market paralysis.
So this week we asked our own Lori Skelton for a little bit of help to maximize our trips to the market this summer. Lori is one of WPR's in-house foodies. She's a Food Friday regular. Lori, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, what's the most exciting thing about the farmers markets right now?
The fact that you've got tried and true things that you know to expect, that you can plan for, but also more and more you are finding surprises. So it's a good idea to go with a shopping list, but also go with an open mind. And if you see something you've never tried before, this is a great time to experiment.
So, Lori, let's say you do that. You go and you buy stuff that looks pretty. Maybe it smells good and you've never cooked with it before, maybe. How do you start? How do you figure out where to go from there?
Well, before you even get it home, may I offer a suggestion? Go to the farmer's market early so you have an opportunity to talk to the vendor. I know in the Madison market, crowds can get a little bit thick even by 9 o'clock in the morning. So I realize this is not what you want to hear first thing on a Saturday morning, but go early. Ideally, it's nice if you can make a round of the market, see who's got what, talk to the vendor, see how they're using it, then go around again and make your selection. So start with a little bit of a plan and start with the idea that if you are encountering something that's new to you, hey, there's a reason that farmer grew it. Somebody either asked him or her for it, or it's something they already enjoy working with. Or, again, if you're in Madison, one good thing to do if you're at the market early is you follow Tory Miller from L'Etoile and Gray's around. He's there with all of his assistants in the kitchen. They've got big wagons. Find out what Tory is buying and go ahead and ask him.
And then we're at home. We've got the produce on the counter or in the fridge. Okay. Farmer's market or CSA or from the store. And what do we do with it? And you've got an idea, suggestion this week. Don't think so much in terms of recipes. Think in terms of structures or templates, kind of. Why is that?
Because there you've got the room to experiment, but if you're keeping certain ratios in mind, you never need to worry that you're going to go completely off the rails. One of the things that we've got on the website right now are the basic ideas for cold noodle salads, which are a great idea. You have an opportunity to use a lot of different kinds of produce. You don't have to worry about mayonnaise going bad in this particular salad. But if you start with, say, too much noodle, you're not going to get a great feel for the vegetables that you're putting in. Or if you've got too much vegetable and not enough of a balance with something crunchy or something spicy or an assertive dressing, it's going to go rather bland on you very, very quickly. One thing to remember about any kind of cold salad, especially in the summer, this needs to have a real punch, especially in how you dress it. You'll want to perhaps give a little bit of extra salt to your vegetables as you're preparing them. You want to be thinking, again, I'm backing away from mayonnaise for most of my salads this summer. I'm thinking thinned out peanut butter or another nut butter. I'm thinking tahini. I'm thinking miso. I'm thinking soy sauce and fish sauce and even in some cases anchovy, if I know that the people I'm serving it to aren't going to have a complete meltdown.
So, Lori, you gave us some basic ideas there. Can you walk us through that template for the cold noodle salad, ingredient by ingredient, so we kind of know what components we're going to be playing with?
Okay. Bon Appetit magazine's template starts off for a serving for four people. You're going to start with 8 ounces of dried noodles, whether that's soba or udon or ramen or rice noodles. Vermicelli, you can even go straight spaghetti if you want. 8 ounces of dry pasta. But whatever your noodle, and here's something that may help. Go ahead and make your noodles ahead of time. You'll want to get them a little past al dente. You want them nice and chewy. Strain them, rinse them thoroughly in cold water, then blot them dry with paper towels and toss on just a little bit of neutral oil, like canola, like grapeseed oil. Then you can store them in your refrigerator and maybe use them the next day and to put together a really fresh cold noodle salad. Then you're going to want some protein. Not too much. Maybe no more than, say, 2 cups of shredded chicken or 1/2 pound or so of sliced pre-made beef or shrimp. If you're someone who tends to overcook your omelets, if your omelets don't come out light and fluffy, this is where a cold noodle salad can be a real lifesaver. Firm pieces of egg, whether it's a firm omelet or hard-boiled egg, are also another good protein source for a cold noodle salad. From there, you're going to want about 4 cups of raw vegetables. Definitely go for things that have crunch. Then on top, think about things like toasted nuts or toasted seeds. If you're going very, very Asian, you may even want to crumble a little bit of seaweed on top of your salad. End up with something a little bit spicy, maybe a chopped jalapeno or a little bit of Szechuan peppercorn, and then that tangy, assertive dressing, and you're good to go.
Talking to Lori Skelton on this edition of Food Friday. She's helping us make the most of seasonal produce, maybe that stuff you're finding at your local farmer's market. Lori, when it comes to salad making, salad's one of those foods that I find always tastes better when somebody else made it. But maybe what are some of the pitfalls that I may have or that anyone might have that make their salads less good? I've definitely done the over-noodling on a noodle salad, and it's like bland and boring. Any other things to watch out for?
Go easy on the dressing when you're dressing it. Don't log down your salad. You can always add more at the table. In some cases, you may want to hold back one element of the dressing. Say you want to include toasted sesame seed oil with your dressing. Maybe you want to hold that back and drizzle that just on the top right when you're serving it. So handle the dressings with a light hand and keep everything else in proportion. That's why you don't want to tie yourself down with a recipe, but you also don't want to just think, I can throw everything in the bowl and it will take care of itself.
Lori, let's talk about some of those baby root veggies, things with greens that you might be inclined to chop off and get rid of. What should we do with those kinds of things?
This is so lovely. I am seeing more and more farmers show up with baby vegetables in the market. Yes, baby beets are showing up right now. Of course, if you've got your own gardens, you know that you have to be thinning all of your root vegetables to make certain they grow properly. So you may have your own supply of baby carrots, baby turnips, baby rutabaga. Kohlrabi is out there right now. And one thing that one vendor at the Madison Market started showing up with years ago that I'm now seeing from more and more farmers, at the time they called them baby white turnips. It's actually a separate variety of turnip called Tokyo turnip. They are meant to be eaten small and, ideally, I think, raw. They're about the size of a radish. They're bright, bright white. They will be sold with the greens on. And they've got a pleasant little bitter taste when they're chopped up, again, in a salad. If you want to sauté or steam them or even roast them, that's going to make them sweeter. But whatever you do, try and make the greens that are sold with your veggie a part of the dish, if necessary. Here, if you're making a salad, chop up your turnips, toss them with your salad. Wait on the greens, though, again, until right before you serve it. Then throw the greens in. You don't need to worry about logging it down with too much dressing. The greens will still be bright and snappy, but the vegetables will have a chance to absorb the dressing and get even more interesting.
Sometimes when I use the greens on root vegetables, it seems like they get wilty really fast. Do I have to make sure I just turn it around really quickly?
You might try, if you're really worried, say you're using your greens maybe a day or two after you bought them, they're starting to already look a little limp, go ahead and shock them in an ice water bath. Or if you really want to get fancy, blanch them for 30 seconds in boiling water, then shock them in an ice water bath. That will usually revive just about any green.
We're talking with Food Friday regular Lori Skelton right now about cooking from the summer farmers market. And she's sharing tips on what to look for at the market or maybe your local grocery store where you're starting to see more of these seasonal veggies and how to turn all of that into delicious meals.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite ingredient this time of year that you find maybe at the farmers market? What do you like to do with it? If you've got something that you bought on a whim, maybe you're not sure what to do with it, call. Maybe Lori can give some suggestions. And if you're on the other side of the market stand, what are you selling now that is awesome? What do you think people should be paying more attention to? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post, find some recipes and other advice on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in a little bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're talking with Food Friday regular Lori Skelton about cooking from the summer farmers market, or if not directly from the market, with all of those fresh veggies that are popping up at grocery stores and stands around the state. Lori's here to help us navigate the familiar and the unfamiliar at the market and how to make some great meals out of all that.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you buying at the farmers market? What have you found? What have you done with it? Are you a big farmers market fan? Do you like cooking with Wisconsin's seasonal produce this time of year? Do you have a question about a mystery product you saw at a stand, gotten your CSA, you name it, and what the heck to do with it? And if you are a farmer, a gardener, maybe a vendor at a farmers market, what are you excited about right now? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page and find us some recipes over there.
And Laura, you wanted to focus on something today that you're calling assertive greens.
Yep.
I'm kind of partial to the super bland ones like baby butter lettuce, but tell me why I should get excited about assertive greens.
Well, part of this has to do with I spent my vacation in Seattle, and I went to a couple of really amazing Chinese restaurants while we were out there. And I was reminded of how good Chinese broccoli is drizzled with just a little bit of oyster sauce in a Chinese restaurant as a side dish. And right now, you've got a great pick of mustard and collard greens, broccoli leaves rather than just the broccoli, your baby bok choys, your chicory, your Belgian endive, arugula. Right now, you can play around with those flavors because they make a lovely, simple accompaniment for some of our easiest summer cooking. If you're one of these people like me who picks up a rotisserie chicken about once a week, assertive greens, again with a really assertive dressing like oyster sauce, very simply steamed or sauteed, is a fantastic accompaniment for a simple roast chicken or a simple piece of fish on the grill. You're eating light, but because you've got a good green on your plate, you're also eating incredibly healthy. One thing that has shown up at one particular vendor, Jones Valley Farm in the Madison Market, these folks are really great about bringing Italian varietals to the market, and last weekend they showed up with something called puntarelle, which is, you have to make the greens separately, and you do have to spend a little bit of time fiddling around with the stems of this Italian green, but this is something that has near cult status in Rome.
Huh.
And once you get around the fiddly preparation, cut the leaves off, cut the pieces into manageable chunks, stick those in ice water for a couple of hours until they curl up. They sort of look like when you smash a dandelion, those little curly cues. All you need to do is dress it with a little bit of garlic, red wine vinegar, a little bit of olive oil, and a little bit of mashed anchovy, and you've got this amazing, very strong but not overpowering accompaniment to a really gentle summer meal. You can go easy on everything else and let the greens take over. And this was one where I found out those greens were so assertive you didn't notice how fishy the anchovies were.
Let's bring on our callers now. Eddie is with us in Viroqua. Eddie, hi.
Hi, Hey, how are you? Thanks for the great show. We have an awesome co-op here in Viroqua, as well as a farmer's market twice a week. And one of the things I've been tasting is garlic scapes.
Oh, yes. I've just cut the last of them out of my garden. Aren't they so good?
Oh, they're so beautiful. The lady at the co-op, Christy, made some amazing pesto out of them. And a couple nights ago, we fried some pork chops in the scapes. And when they get to that crispy sort of almost burned place where they're crunchy. Oh, so good.
Absolutely. Garlic scape pesto is a little bit more freezer stable even than your standard basil pesto, so that's a great way, if you can make some and then freeze it, to hang on to some of summer for next winter. Good on
you. And
that.
Even adding a little garlic mustard to it, which is a bane of our existence out here.
You eat your enemies. I highly recommend throwing garlic mustard in. Good for you.
Eddie, thanks for the call. And I'm never sure how much of the scape I can use. Which bits should I cook with and which is just...
If somebody has handed you a scape, you eat the whole thing.
None of it escapes.
None of it escapes. Absolutely. Get the whole thing on your plate. It's one of the things that you can use. One of the other recipes that I asked you to put up on the Central Time website today was a greens pasta salad from a recent edition of Food and Wine. And this is a place where garlic scapes could be really, really useful. This is a green salad that has pasta in it and has a kind of a mayonnaise dressing, but it's not the gloppy, heavy mayonnaise dressing we're used to. It's actually more greens than pasta. The basic recipe is asparagus, peas, pasta, and a half pound of arugula. But this is some place where you could gently steam those garlic scapes, throw that in addition to or instead of some of the other greens. One of the reasons I asked you to include this recipe is this is a recipe, again, you don't have to follow to the letter. You can get really, really creative depending on what you find at the market.
Nice. And thanks a lot, Eddie. You made those sound really tasty.
Oh, they are so good.
All right, let's go next to Chloe in Green Bay. Chloe, hi.
Hi. So I'm a college student just cooking for one. I'm just wondering, what are your suggestions for preserving produce long-term? I already like freeze rhubarb and things, but is there anything else I can do?
Rhubarb was going to be the first thing I said. That is a problem with greens in of themselves. It's hard for the home cook to get those so that they're stable in the freezer. What I would suggest is go ahead and make casseroles or gratins. Even if you don't cook them all the way, look for recipes that are good to freeze, and then give yourself an afternoon and cook for this winter. Go ahead and make things that you'll need to do in 6 months' time is pull it out of the freezer and pop it in the microwave. Rather than getting ingredients for the long term, try playing around with what can I make to freeze now. Do you like playing around with phyllo dough?
I'm sorry?
Do you like playing around with phyllo dough? Have you ever made like a puff pastry roll?
I never have. No.
Well, believe it or not, that was one of the first things I did when I started cooking for myself. And you go out, you get a package of puff pastry, and then you spend the afternoon making savory, like long rolls of pastry, big long pastry logs, which you then wrap up well in a couple of layers of aluminum foil, stick those in the freezer, and those will keep for months. And it's a lovely feeling when you can come home, you've had a rough day, you really don't want to cook, and then you, oh, that's right, I've got a rice and broccoli phyllo puff waiting for me in the freezer. So
all
try
right.
that.
Good luck, Chloe. We'll go next to Mary Beth on the line in Waukesha. Mary Beth, hi.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I am new to shopping at farmers markets. I'm excited about it, but I have a great recipe I want to try with zucchini. I'm just wondering if it's too early to find those.
I haven't seen any yet. That doesn't mean they won't start showing up. It's been an interesting year with the temperatures kind of going back and forth. We had a little bit cooler start than I was anticipating. I wouldn't be surprised if zucchini were not to start showing up this weekend, but you're right. That is something you really, again, if you're planning for it, you're probably going to be planning for it later in the summer, but it certainly could happen.
And my zucchini's just starting to flower in the backyard now. I start later than the farmers do, I assume, but yeah. It's going to be ways off for me.
Mary Beth, you piqued my curiosity. Just briefly, what is your fancy recipe, your tasty recipe?
Soft tortilla shells out of zucchini.
Oh.
Gluten-free. A friend gave it to me who's doing the Whole 30 diet. I'm not doing it, but
okay.
I'm trying to eat healthier, and it's made with arrowroot flour and coconut flour.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I've heard of zucchini pizza crust, too. So this is something that's out there.
Wow.
Yeah, Lori's taking notes. This could be our next Food Friday.
So I may have to just get them at the grocery store. But
all right, Mary Beth.
Good
that
luck.
Sounds yummy. Thank
Report
you for
back.
Trying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, thanks for that call. And yeah, some homework there we can do on zucchini tortillas and zucchini pizza crust.
Okay.
We have time, I think, for one more caller. Dan in Rockford, Illinois. Dan, hi.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good. What did you want to ask about?
I was wondering, I have found over the years that I really enjoy the crunch and the therapeutic benefits of raw garlic. And it even works for my heartburn if I get it. But I don't know how to buy it in the farmer's market fresh and then store it a significant amount of time without it starting to grow on me or go bad. And I was wondering if I could peel it, the individual cloves, and put it covered in olive oil, if that would work for me, if that would store it better in the fridge.
Okay. You don't want to just stick it in olive oil. You want to do what's called confit. You want to gently simmer those garlic cloves in olive oil on the stove for at least 20 minutes. Double check. You can Google garlic confit, which is spelled C-O-N-F-I-T. Google garlic confit. Double check the time. But once you have gotten those garlic cloves cooked a little bit, you then store them in the oil you cooked them in. This is a French technique that they use for preserving a lot of things. And again, it's one of those lovely things. You've got garlic confit in the refrigerator. You've got great meals ahead.
Nice. Thanks for the call. And Lori, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
That's Lori Skelton, one of our in-house foodies, a Food Friday regular. We've got links to the recipes Lori mentioned, including the one for greens pasta salad. You can find that over on the Central Time Facebook page. And while you're there, send us a picture of the produce you're cooking with this weekend.